With our special guest tonight, Paul Gursiaw, as we talk about the Merlin project, and we'll get into some of the predictions of Merlin. Paul was on the program first of the year. We'll go through that and also some of these time tracks for individuals. That'll be next on Coast to Coast AM. Lots of predictions to go through and time tracks with Paul Gursiaw, Merlin Project. So you were saying right before the break that you're a little concerned about Tiger Woods. Let's go through that.
Well, let me just briefly mention something, because I wanted to tie off a couple of loose ends, George. I had mentioned that Lisa had told me about this mutation, and there are probably some people out there wondering, what is he talking about? I looked it up. It's called Leiden Factor 5. That's what it's called, and you can actually look it up online. Leiden is spelled L-E-I-D-E-N, and then the word factor and 5, the Roman numeral 5. The other thing that we had quickly talked about was this light force unit, the flashing lights. People are probably wondering, what is he talking about? It looks like it's like the size of a iron that you might iron clothing with, that kind of thing. And it has little red infrared lights on it, and they flash on and off at different rates and speeds and whatnot. And that's the thing that sets up this pulse that seems to penetrate the skin and affect pain, alleviating pain and healing wounds and things. So I just wanted to mention those, because I had gotten a couple of emails from people who said, what are you talking about? Now, you were asking me about Tiger Woods.
Spikes, there's no doubt. He's in a huge series of 3 or 4 years of a huge spike here.
Well, I'll tell you, as I said, I'm a little afraid for Tiger Woods, because he's at a very odd point in time for someone with his skills. He oughtn't to be having the kind of problems he's having. I mean, I mean, I don't know if you play golf, but I've played over the years. The first time I ever played golf was at the Black Course at Bethpage, where they played the U.S. Open 2 years ago, and then Tiger won it the first time in 2002 when they played it there. You know, golf is not rocket science. You know, it's, and there's a lot of people who play it very, very well. They don't win the kind of frequency that Tiger does. But you would suppose that somebody who's got the natural skills that he does, not the learned ones, but the natural ones, nothing would throw them off. He's been thrown off his game like nothing I've ever seen.
Huge.
Huge. When you have that kind of ability and those kinds of cycles, and you've lost something really significant in your life. And in his case, he lost a wife. He lost access to the kids, or at least his daily access. He lost major endorsements. He lost the respect of probably a very many number of people out there, because he really was held up as a role model. And he played it to the hilt, too. So when all of that happens and you get these kinds of cycles, if all of a sudden your skills leave you, and, I mean, how would he need to learn mechanical things to hit balls? I mean, I can keep a ball in the fairway. You know, I may not be able to hit it 350 yards, but I can hit it 250 and keep it in the fairway. I'm not Tiger Woods.
You're not Tiger Woods.
Why should he be? I mean, if you watch it, it's almost embarrassing. I mean, he's over in the rough over here, and he's over in the rough over there, and he's hitting the roof of the tent, you know, or some spectator. I mean, he's very, very lucky to have done as well as he's done, given all of that going on. That, in combination with the lack of emotional support, which I think has been there, he still has a fan base. I mean, and he still has an enormous effect on the game. I mean, I don't know whether you looked at the numbers, but the viewership for professional golf during his absence was down 46%.
Oh yeah, huge, huge.
It was gigantic, and the dollar value attached to that is equally enormous for the advertisers, for the networks, okay, for the attendees, okay, you know, wherever you look. He's the draw in that industry. I'm very afraid that without a good emotional support structure, and I'm not sure he has one. He has professional friends, but I'm not sure he has that, you know, bosom buddy sort of thing going on with anybody.
Seems to be alone. Seems to be alone a lot.
When you name your yacht Privacy, you know, I mean, and at the same time, you live in a gated community 75 feet away from other people. I mean, with his income, what kind of a crazy thing is that to do? I mean, I would have been, if it had been me and I wanted to live off, I would have, you know, I would have bought property and put a moat around it or something. But I sure as I wouldn't have been 75 feet away from somebody else. I mean, there's some strange stuff going on there. And I'm afraid that if the winning doesn't pick up, which is something he's been used to ever since he was 2 or 3 years old.
And there's no telling that it will.
That's right. And can you imagine what it would be like to be within 3 tournaments of surpassing or tying Jack Nicklaus's record?
And it just stops. Yeah.
And the other thing that's amazing is not only is it happening to him, but it's contagious. It's happening to Phil Mickelson, too. He's got some kind of weird eczema, and his wife's got cancer. And I mean, it's like, what is going on there? Okay, with number one and number two, not even in the final 30 who are playing for the FedEx Cup.
Okay, but his track shows a spike over 4 years. From 10,
well, when
11,
you
12,
when you
13.
Have that, here's what's really important. Here's what George and I have found, and this is what's consistent in the entire set of time tracks I sent you tonight. When you look at them, you're going to say, "Oh my God, he's right." Every single one of those is either starting or ending right now. Well, not everyone. There may be a few that aren't. Okay, like Michael Jackson's, for instance, is it starting or ending right now? It ended in 08. But if you look at the 08 period, you look at the rest of the 18 years, you say, oh my God, right sometime in 08 or at that point, this thing flattens, goes to a flat line. What's important is that on each of those time tracks, you either see a long trend line ending, something that's been going on for 5 years, 10 years sometimes, okay, or you find a long timeline launching. And what we found,
and what does that mean? A long timeline.
Well, when you see activity starting at a particular year or portion of a year, and then continuing unbroken for several years.
Okay.
Okay. You'll notice on virtually all of the ones I sent you that the timeline is either ending right now or launching right now, and what's ending is a trend line that's been going on for several years, or what's launching now is a trend line that goes on for several years and had been up to this point intermittent or almost non-existent. When you have a trend line begin or end that goes on for several years or has been going on for several years, you are looking at an episodic change point in that person's life. You are looking at a crossroads. And we found that those beginning and ending points, like chapter headings, are more important even, not always, but often, than the spikes are. What we found at the spikes is that's where the activity maybe peaks, where there's a sort of high watermark of craziness going on.
Well, what would you conclude about Tiger Woods then?
Well, Tiger Woods could attempt suicide, for instance, as an example. Tiger Woods could throw in the towel and decide he's quitting golf.
He doesn't need
something
the money.
Very extreme. And the thing is,
could he start winning? Could it show that too?
Well, yes, he could. But it would have to happen pretty near to where we are now in order for it to really turn around. Because once the period of time starts on a particular note, it tends to continue on that one for a while. Look at yours. Look at what went on in the in early 2003, for instance. I think it was 2003. And what that trend line did until recently, very recently, earlier this year, I think, something like 7 years after it launched, it sort of quieted down. And look at what happened to have come along in early 2010 that hadn't been going on in 2009 and 2008 and 2007 and 2006. Okay, that, you know, those crossed swords between Citadel and Premier, I guess it was, that had an enormous effect on affiliate base and all sorts of stuff that almost came out of left field.
And then, boom, it went back up.
Well, it's because it didn't stay down long. If it had, you guys might have been in the doldrums for several years, not being able to pick up affiliates in major markets and, you know, all that good stuff. And you and I both know enough to know that, you know, that shows don't survive with that going on, or they go and change hosts or they do something like that. So that's not a good thing. And in the case of Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods is not only going to have an effect, it's not only going to have an effect on Tiger Woods' life, but this is going to have an effect on golf. You know, I mean, this is the Bobby Jones of his era. This is a deity in the world of golf. This kind of somebody can't afford to have this kind of thing happen. The industry can't afford to have this happen. I mean, it's absolutely remarkable. I thought, and mistakenly turns out, that if you won the FedEx Cup, you got a free pass to all other tour championships, right? Once you win the Masters, you get back to go to play Augusta, even if you drop down to the, you know, to 300 on the list or something. But that's not true, apparently, and it's unfortunate. It isn't. I think when you've won it two out of the three times it's been played, you almost ought to have that right. But here's this number one rated player, not even in the championship. And in the case of Phil, if you look at Phil's run, like Tiger's, you find that his trend line ends right now. It stops. Now,
does it come back?
Well, they'll all come back, and Tiger's mountain range will die down eventually. Okay, usually in a 3 to 5 year span, these things, once they launch, especially if they launch like that. Well, look at the Soviet Union. It launched all of those Soviet satellites I was talking about before, you know, the founding dates for the Soviet satellite. If you looked at them in 87, you'd find it fairly flat. In 88, it started, you saw the foothills. And by 89, it looked like Mount Everest on run after run after run. When George first started running these things for me, and that was in the fall of 89, he would leave a package of them behind his storm door in Wakefield, Massachusetts, and because he work was in the other direction, so he'd leave them behind his storm door, and I'd come from the other direction. I'd collect them, and I remember reading the post-it on one early in October of 89, and it just said, "If you like China, you're going to love East Germany." And then the wall fell 30 days later, and we looked at each other, and it was like, is this unreal or what? And I swear we were the only two people on the planet who knew what was about to happen to the old Soviet Union before it happened. And George said to me at the time, I can't believe that we knew about this before it was going to happen, and nobody's going to know about it except us.
Gorbachev probably didn't even know.
No, I'm sure nobody knew. I mean, who could nobody that I know predicted that the old Soviet Union was going to go belly up over the course of maybe three and a half years in a whimper. No guns firing, by and large. I mean, they got Ceausescu and a few people. I mean, but by and large, nobody died. It just ended.
Let's look at Hillary Clinton for a second, Paul. She spikes when she becomes Secretary of State.
Right.
And things are dull in 2010 and 11.
Right.
And then they start going up again in 2012.
Well, I'll tell you what I think that is. I think that there's a deal. This is not inside information. This is Merlin talking and George and I conferring on this. I think there's a deal that, and this may go back to 08, that Biden and Hillary will switch roles.
Now that's
intriguing.
And
that will set Hillary up for a run in 2016.
Or maybe even 2012 if he decides not to run for re-election.
I almost can't see that happening. He's just not the type.
No, okay? I agree with you.
And one of the things about this guy, and with all of the stuff, all the negatives that are flying around about Obama, yeah, and those of us who were, you know, Obama supporters, and even George sent money. I mean, George never does that. Certainly not for a Democrat and a liberal or progressive, my God. George is a conservative Republican, has been as long as I've known it. In fact, that's been the source of some interesting arguments, let me tell you. Obama has gotten very far by being underestimated. And I think that's going to continue.
Well, let's see. You've got a track for him, so let's see if we can pull that
I do.
Out.
Well, I have a couple of them, actually. One of the ones
yeah,
I
you
have
do.
Is,
you have
I have one for his birthday, and then I also have one for when he launched his campaign, which incidentally, and now here's the parallels. Here's a very interesting parallel. On the day that Barack Obama announced for the presidency, which was February 10th, 2007, that was the day that General Petraeus was put in charge of the surge in Iraq. And I remember putting out, I think even on your show, that let's watch this, because bet you when big changes happen for Petraeus, big changes are going to happen in Obama's career. Well, very recently, out of essentially nowhere, Petraeus got plucked to now run this Iraq situation. Okay, and if you look at some of the earlier Petraeus changes, you'll find that they also parallel changes in Obama's career. Well, right now is the biggest crisis period since Obama won the presidency, probably and maybe in his political career of all time.
Well, let me do this, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong here. I'm looking at the Obama-Biden track.
Okay.
And it looks like he runs for re-election because, you know, his career spiked, and then it's flat, which tells me he either doesn't win or his last 4 years, if he gets re-elected, are just nothing. Nothing.
Well, I'm inclined, because it actually extends into
13.
2013, right? It doesn't stop at the end of 2012 or trickle off at the middle of 2012 or something like that. It actually goes into 2013, about quarter to halfway. The way I would read that is that he does get reelected, and the second term is a yawn in comparison to this one.
Which means not a lot of dramatic things one way or another.
Kind of. I think, for instance, I don't know what your political leanings are.
Nobody ever will.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. But I think that that even the most jaundiced, almost the most jaundiced political observer would have to agree that the game playing that's been going on the last 2 years is just obscene. I mean, we live in a country where you're supposed to get behind the guy who won and try and get things better, not make them worse.
Hold on, Paul. Let's come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. More time tracks. We'll be back. All right, this Friday, those of you in the greater Los Angeles area will be doing a live broadcast on the haunted Queen Mary, so come on by for that. And those of you in the San Leandro area in California, major event on Saturday. All the information at coasttocoastam.com in the left there under our calendars section. When we come back, more with the Merlin Project on Coast to Coast AM. Paul, so this is a major story, and you're interpreting Merlin that President Obama, with either Hillary or Joe Biden, probably Hillary, will run for re-election in 2012 and win.
And win, yeah.
All right, we're going to mark that down.
Well, let me give you a very interesting little side story that's going on right now. Based on the results in primary states tonight, the Tea Party people just romped.
Right.
And, you know, what that's effectively going to do is probably help the Democrat in those races win where they might not have won if the establishment Republican had been running. Because a lot of these Tea Party candidates, some of the things they want to do, they want to end Social Security, they want to revoke the 14th Amendment and close the Education Department. I mean, seniors, when they hear that Social Security, when somebody wants to end Social Security, that person's never going to get a vote from them ever in their lives.
Goodbye, check them off.
And who comes out at midterms?
Mm-hmm.
Seniors
by the droves.
Seniors. And one of the things that hasn't started, just beginning to happen now, based on this health initiative that the Democrats got passed, is that anybody whose pharmaceutical expenses have exceeded $2,500 are going to start getting checks in the mail for the money that they spent to reimburse them for the money that they spent over that amount. And then over the next seven years,
mm-hmm.
they're going to get to the point where they're not going to have those expenses anymore. Well, seniors, I mean, that's going to put anywhere between $2,000 and $3,000 back into the pockets of a lot of seniors. Are they going to vote for somebody who wants to end Social Security?
Here's the
kicker. One of the people running in a primary and running as a libertarian is a fellow George went to school with, Dave Nolan. Dave Nolan started the Libertarian Party. George was in the apartment the night that they formed it on Beacon Hill back about 30, 40 years ago. I remember what year, 71 or 2 or something like that. Dave is running as a Libertarian candidate for U.S. Senate in, I believe it's Arizona. Now, the chances that Dave is going to succeed, even if you looked at his chart and the Libertarian chart, which I think is part of the reason why he ran, because he looked at the chart and looked at his time track and he said, oh my God, I have a real chance. But that's not what's happening. What's actually happening is that Dave, for all intents and purposes, is the sort of godfather, honorary godfather, of this whole Tea Party movement. The libertarians have been saying that stuff for 40 years. The Tea Party people have just adopted it. So this whole Tea Party period in American politics is largely attributable to Dave Nolan.
But you are, at this point, I think you're the only person in the country that said that the president will win re-election in 2012.
I think George and I were the only people in the country who said Hillary wasn't going to be the nominee.
I can't wait one way or another to get you back on the air after that day.
Don't you remember that?
I do.
For years we said Hillary is either not going to be the nominee, or if she is the nominee, she's not going to get elected. And we said it, and when we first said that, we could have gotten odds of 90-1 from bookies. Okay. If we had actually put down $1,000, we could have collected $90,000 on the day that Obama was nominated. Okay, that's how unlikely it was when we said it. But we also said, and you can look at the time tracks for this, and people can go online and look at them. They're posted. They've been there all along.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, that the Iraq War, when it was the night it was launched, we said
March 2003.
That's right, March 19th of 2003, right around the time the network news were all on, purposely. We said this is going to let. If this isn't over almost immediately, it's going to go on until about 2011, and we were laughed at. People said, 2011. We're going to be there for 8 years. Except that now we're 4 months away from 2011, yeah. And we're just now getting out from under that. Okay. But if you look at the time track for the aftermath of the launching of Bush's Iraq War, the second Iraq War, not the Kuwait, freeing the Kuwait people, not Daddy's War. If you look at 43's Iraq War, the time track, you wouldn't have to be a scientist or anybody at all with any real expertise to look at that and say, well, if somebody said, well, when does this look like it might end? Well, if things don't change right at the beginning, it then goes on and on and on, and you can see that it's a constant, fairly flat line all the way out to 2011, at which point it abruptly stops. And we said, well, this thing's going to go on to 2011. Now, that wasn't a hunch or a guess. It was math. It was like the multiplication. It's like a fancy multiplication table that we were using. And we, as much as our political views are extremely different, George and I have, for the most part, been able to put the swords away at the door and get together on what the math says.
Right, and that's what...
Because we can both agree that the math has been right so many more times often than it should have been if this was nothing but a crapshoot. Okay. That we have no choice but to set aside our own particular, you know, wants or needs or what we'd like to see happen, okay, and go with the numbers. And the numbers have been right better than 8 times out of 10 when we have enough of these to throw at the situation to get a really rounded view. So for like running all of the Soviet satellite countries all at the same time to see whether the music score looks similar. Well, it looks so similar, you could put Germany over Czechoslovakia, over Poland, you know, and they all look remarkably the same. If I lined them up for you, that might be fun to do someday. They're not posted online now, but we had them around for quite a while before we had internet to post them. We'll post them up there. You can pull these things down, you can print them out, you can line them up on the wall, and then line up a few countries that didn't go belly up in 89, 90, 91, like Australia or North Korea or something. And what you'll find is they don't match. The ones that all have a pattern that's remarkably similar, such that if they were songs, they would sound kind of the same, and they would begin and end in the same time frames with the same cadence and probably in a similar key, would be that particular bunch. When we go through these looking for prospects for predictions, okay, I guess that would be a good way to put it, we pull out the ones that look most obvious that they're going to go through a huge shift around at this point. That's where, if you look at the predictions for 2010, you'll see that's what we were doing basically. Pulled out the ones that had the most likely chance of being big changes this year. And those are the ones we used as the example run, said, well, these are the people or these are the situations that are going to be most prominent in this period of time. So we said things like Leno's going to want his job back. Well, we practically didn't even get the thing. We did Ian's show in January. I think it was 4 or 5 days later that Leno got his job back. We almost didn't get that one on the record in time. Okay. And then, you know, the people – Al Gore with the affair thing and other questionable issues, that kiss that went on at the convention, that these people are going to get divorced, okay? You know, Lady Gaga all of a sudden becoming huge, okay? Tiger Woods situation, you know, going through an enormous trauma, the U.S. presidency hitting a crisis point between the spring of 2010 and the November elections. Well, duh. Yep. Okay. And those were posted. Those aren't even all of them, but those are the ones. They were posted with you guys back in January.
Now, reading,
well, how did we do it? We looked, we put these things, we ran the runs, we laid them out on the table and said, ah, this, here's one. Okay. We didn't even bother to see which one it was. Just pull it out if it's got the right pattern at the right point. Okay.
And then look and see what it is.
And then let's see if we can figure out what it's going to be.
If I'm looking at this chart here, I'm going to assume Mitt Romney does not get the Republican nomination.
Or doesn't win if he does.
That's
right. That's exactly the way.
If he would get the nomination, there should be a spike there for his
career.
There
should be something.
There's nothing.
There should be something, yes. There's nothing.
So,
the only president in recent history that had nothing going on when he got elected probably wasn't really the president. You go look at Dick Cheney's run for the same years from, let's say, 99 through 2007, 08 in there someplace, and you see all kinds of mountain ranges. You know what you see on George Bush's run? You see some stuff going on in early 03 when he launched the war, and some stuff going on between late 04 and early 05 when he got reelected, God knows how. And that's about it. What you do see is interesting because coming up in 2012, I think it is, on Bush's run, and he's posted in the Time Track Library as well, so timetracks.org. Go look, you'll find George Bush in there. You'll find a mountain range going on. I have a feeling that George may tell some interesting stories in this book that's coming out. He may actually level about some things, and boy, would that be interesting.
That would be.
Especially considering the fact that he and Cheney are at each other's necks right now.
Now, with Michael Jackson, we've got it obviously flat. The guy's
right.
Dead, but it spikes.
Out right where it ought to.
Yeah, but it spikes in 2012-13. So what happens? He doesn't come back.
No, but his songbook might be sold for umpteen dollars. To give you an example there, I suspect that in the years, and this will be probably true upcoming too, because his run would reflect that, in certain key years, Elvis Presley is making way more money now than he ever made when he was alive. That's what it's the fallout from something you started, even if you're not around anymore. It's the rumbling repercussions from that original, rock being dropped in the pond that you're now experiencing the results of a certain key number of years later. That's why I'm saying this is all math. If you'd like, in the last hour, I'll give you and your listeners a formula. They can do their own predicting, and they will be right as often as Merlin is, because we can set it up specifically for a particular day at a particular time when you were right. But I'll give you the essential formula. You can do your own predicting and watch how often it turns out to be right.
On a 2006 show with me, you thought that Kerry and Edwards and Biden would all be the strong front runners, and that Barack and
Kerry and yes, right,
and that Hillary and Barack didn't look as strong.
I thought that one of them would probably be vice president. I actually thought it was going to be Edwards Obama, is what I thought. And if John Edwards hadn't been as stupid as he was, okay, another Tiger Woods story. I mean, unbelievable, literally. I mean, way worse than Bill Clinton. Okay, way worse.
What would have happened had he been part of an elected package, and then this came?
Can you imagine that? George and I have had that. There's one of those things we've talked about repeatedly. It's like, can you imagine if Edwards had actually been elected? Okay, and what if he was elected with Obama as the vice president, vice presidential candidate, and we literally had rioting in the streets going on because the only way the African American got to be president was because the other guy had been cheating on his wife.
Mm.
Can you imagine what that would have been like? And it could have happened.
It would have happened. That's true.
We thought, for instance, on the other side of the ticket, we thought that Mike Bloomberg was going to going to run as an independent. He was ready to spend $1 billion of his own money, and I'll bet you he could have beaten almost anybody except perhaps Obama. And the only reason he didn't do it was because he didn't want to rain on the parade of the first African-American who had a viable chance of winning. That's the only reason Bloomberg didn't run. And I'll bet you that we see Bloomberg in Obama's cabinet upcoming in here.
There's going to be a realignment before the election, don't you think?
I do.
Yeah.
You mean before 2012?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. And based on what happened tonight with these Tea Party candidates, I have a feeling that the Republican hierarchy, the establishment Republicans, may have just seen their takeover of the Congress go down the tubes.
You did a track for the Mayan calendar, End Times.
Mm-hmm.
You remember it?
Oh, yes. It's actually on the ProjectMerlin.com website, right on the front page.
Starts to tail off at 2012, and then it stays, looks like it goes flat. What happens?
It does. Well, what's really interesting about that is that it's peaking right now. Okay?
That's right.
And the change point on that trend line actually started in around late 05, 06, and then it got consistent from late 06 on. So from late 06 on, we had a pulse going on, a bum, 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 drum beat. Okay. Right now and last year, so essentially from the time of the 08 election forward, the tempo of that trend line changes. It stops being a constant and starts being erratic. Okay. In other words, the pulse is there all right, but it's louder and it's longer and it's bigger and it's more, dramatic, whatever words you want to attach to it. And then it peaks right around where we are now or where we've just been. So I would say, for instance, the BP oil leak thing may have been around the peaking point here. And then it's all downhill from there. And the trend line has an interruption in 2012 and then in 2011. And then
it's gone. It's like
stops.
It's no issue anymore.
Right. It stops being a big deal. So by the time we get to December 2012, we've actually even gone past the end of the cyclic period. So in looking back over this, end times, what we may end up agreeing is that the near second Great Depression and the election of the first African-American president and a bunch of other things of that sort, okay, actually marked this period of time. And things like, for instance, your NBM1, okay, that's certainly not a happy thing to have heard about. A germ, a bug that doesn't respond to any antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the fact that you notice how the climate change people have sort of quieted down.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we had such a hot summer up here in Maine, I can't even begin to tell you. The number of 90-plus days was literally unreal.
L.A. was hot, St. Louis was hot. How's the leg feel? You up for phone calls?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
sure.
We'll be back. We'll take phone calls next with Paul Gursiel, the Merlin Project, next on Coast to Coast AM.